Okay, welcome back to the Golf Pregame Podcast on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. My name is Will Doctor, alongside James Ledbetter. The Sony Open wrapped up Sunday, and it was a great week for Dreamers. If you tailed, I went 7-for-10, my picks, including sweeping the entire head-to-head picks and hitting my best bet, which was Connors over Leishman at -105. Could have been a perfect week had Aaron Rye and Brendan Steele not thrown up on themselves Friday afternoon when they missed the cut, but that's okay. We still came out on top. It was nice being able to watch Thursday and Friday with that ESPN Plus now that they have unlimited streaming. So we were able to see guys grind out the cut lines, get more of a feel of an early coverage. But tell me what's new with you.
Yeah, not too much. Pretty cool to watch, Hideki win at the Sony there. I believe he was the first Asian-born player to win there since, forgot the guy's name, but like the original, like OG.
Aoki. Yes. He tied KJ Choi's record of most PGA Tour victories by an Asian player as well.
Yeah, that's right. I was looking at, like, even, you know, Russell Henley obviously kind of was looking like leading, you know, wire to wire there the whole time. But imagine being the solo leader and shooting 65 the final round and, you know, losing. That's exactly what happened to him. Hideki shot 63-63 on the weekend, including an eagle on the first playoff hole. That's now three wins in his last 17 starts for Hideki, a guy who, you know, was kind of in that Finau range, maybe Scotty Scheffler range of not really winning too much. I don't think he had a win actually in his first like 85 starts. So he's really starting to rack them up now. Officially an island boy, I would say, with the win now at Hawaii and at his homeland of Japan. And then obviously throw in the Masters. He's got a pretty good track record here his last several events.
Yeah, it was for the first time in his career, Hideki led the field in strokes gained putting. So I think that's the main difference for him, Led. I think it really is.
Yeah, I think that could be bad news for the rest of the tour if that guy finds the flat stick, because we know how good a ball striker he is. And just like recapping, I broke even here, not too special of a week, but we both had Webb Simpson over Cam Smith, +140, which was nice to cash. Good value there. Like we talked about, we did not think he was going to be able to back up the 3,400 par week, and he didn't do that. You know, that's, I think, one of those things where when you win the week before, you know, if you're not going to contend or play well, you'd rather just leave on Friday, get back to the mainland, and start celebrating, that original win, that first event in Hawaii. But I did cash Russell Henley top 10 +350, which was a nice one. We had Kisner at 35-1. You know, he finished third place, so that was definitely a nice look. But let's just get into the American Express. You know, that's probably got to be the shortest name on the PGA Tour with all the ones we've been dealing with the last couple weeks. It is going to be a pro-am this week, two pros, two amateurs. Pin position should be a little easier to kind of get the amateurs around the course in under 8 hours. So once again, we're going to be looking at some really low scores. Very underrated event. It doesn't really get too much recognition. I think part of that is the fact that it does rotate on three golf courses. There aren't really those like signature holes down the stretch, you know, whether you think about Amen Corner or where you think of, Sawgrass, 17th Island Green or whatever. The one hole that does stand out would be the 18th, which is an island green par five that, you know, brings a lot of drama on Sundays. But yes, we're heading back to the mainland of the United States after the Hawaii swing. We're going to La Quinta, California, Palm Springs, also known as weather shouldn't be a factor. The weather there is really always pretty mild, not too much wind, you know, maybe a little chilly in the mornings, but for the most part, pros are going to be able to just, you know, fire at flag sticks. In terms of the field, we're going to have 156 players in the field this week, a little bigger than normal. We're going to have 65 in ties making the cut. And then, you know, I believe this is the only time all year we're going to have the cut after three rounds. And that's just because of the fact that you're going to be playing three different golf courses. So you couldn't have the cut after 2 days because you've only played two of the three. In terms of looking at the field, John Rahm will be teeing it up this week, looking to keep his grasp of the world number one ranking. Player of the year, Patrick Cantlay, is playing. And then we have eight of the top 30 players in the world, including those guys. So like I stated earlier, we have a three-course rotation. We're going to have the stadium course at PGA West, which is a 7,113-yard par 72 designed by famed architect Pete Dye, also designer of TPC Sawgrass. The thing with Pete Dye is a lot of people have thought over the years his designs are definitely on the severe side. You're going to see, I don't remember what hole it is particularly. There's a par three that has like a 50-foot drop-off bunker where
I think it's 16, lad. I know I have it here in my answer notes, but I think it's 16.
Yeah, I believe it's a 16 pole there. I mean, an amateur would literally spend all day in there, but the pros would manage to get out. But, I mean, I'm talking like
– it is 16.
You wouldn't be able to see the pin if the pin was 30 feet tall, kind of drop-off. So look for that with this course. A little bit of elevation change around there in terms of some tee boxes, but nothing too much to deal with. The next course we're going to be playing is La Quinta Country Club, which is a 7,060-yard par 72. And then the last course is going to be the Nicklaus Tournament course at PGA West, which is a 7,152-yard par 72. So obviously we're going to take in all the courses into account when we're doing our research and stuff. But the one thing to note is the stadium course is going to play – you know, based on what your tee time is, you're going to be playing that one of the first 3 days. And then the final round is always going to be on that stadium course. So the stadium course has seven holes that feature water. And really, that's the only defense of the golf course.
Yeah, and I just got off a Twitter space with PGA Tour Live. They were just kind of announcing a couple things about the broadcast and the majority of the coverage and all the cameras. A lot of the show is going to be on the PGA stadium course.
Mm-hmm. Which is actually, you know, you would think they would have done this earlier, but I believe the last couple of years they used to not even have televised coverage at the other golf courses.
Right, so now,
this is the first year they're going to even have a semblance of coverage for all of them. Like I talked about, going to be a birdie fest. Last 6 years, the average winning score is almost 24 under par. Past champions include Andrew Landry, John Rahm, Hudson Swafford, Jason Duffner. So all types of different golfers can win out here. Even going back to 2 years ago, Adam Long won at, I believe he was 400-1, 500-1 kind of range. So, you know, look for potentially a long shot type golf course. In terms of the grass, we're going to be Bermuda tee to green, but the greens are like a hybrid. So in terms of the way they're going to putt, they are going to be Bermuda, but pretty mild grain because of the, overseed that they have growing in. Course setup wise, yes, we're dealing with 54 different golf holes, but for the most part, not much rough out there. So I think it's going to favor the longer hitters just for the fact that they're going to be able to spray it a little bit and going to still be able to have a decent amount of control coming from the second cut. Going back to last year, Siwoo Kim was your defending champion with a score of 23 under par. Last year's event, to note, was only on two courses for the first time in tournament history, and that was because they didn't do the Pro-Am, and it just made more sense to do that. This year, we're back with the three-course rotation. Funny stat, well, I was actually just looking at Siwoo's past results at this event. Got to be the first time this happened. In the 2020 edition of this event, he won in 2021. Siwoo withdrew after the first round with a 87 he shot. Wow. He was dealing with a back injury, but sure. If you want to talk about a bit of a comeback from year to year, shooting 87, withdrawing, and then winning it the next year, these guys are good, I guess. In terms of some other notable results, Patrick Cantlay finished runner-up, one shot back, powered by final round, stadium course record 61. And then, you know, I think the stats we're really going to be kind of honing into is going to be strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained approach, birdies are better, and then strokes gained putting Bermuda. And, well, for the most part, you know, if it was like last week and we're playing Wiley and the guy's a really inconsistent driver and, you know, doesn't hit a lot of fairways, I think for the most part, those guys are going to be fine this week in terms of, like we talked about, the rough shouldn't be too much of an issue. It's kind of like how big your misses are. Yes, there's a water off there. You can't be taking drops left and right, but for the most part, there's going to be, you know, a little bit of give off the tee, and I think you're going to be able to pretty much, you know, really take advantage of it with the driver. So, you know, without further ado, let's get into our favorites, starting with John Rahm at +550. The world number one is 9th off the tee and 10th approach so far in this short season. Well, here's his last 7 starts. Memorial, COVID debacle. Let's call that a win. Okay. You know, obviously Patrick Cantlay took over that.
Yeah, it was a win. It was a win.
It was a win.
Language, yeah.
Yes. Then he goes win at US Open, 3rd at British Open, 3rd at Northern Trust, 9th at BMW, 2nd at Tour Championship, just missed cut at the Fortinet, probably, you know, wasn't even wanting to play in it and had a little appearance fee. And then we have the 2nd place finish at the most recent Century Tournament of Champions. So it's like this guy, no matter what he does, cannot finish outside the top 3, it seems like. In terms of, you know, even going back to what John Rahm's going to, you know, obviously his first event back of the year was the tournament in Hawaii, and, you know, they were doing his press conferences, and he was just talking about, you know, I had such a good year last year. It was hard to believe he only had 1 win, you know, being in the top 3 in strokes gained, tee to green, stuff like that. Just was so consistent all year. And he talked about how, you know, maybe this year he might go a little bit more aggressive in terms of, you know, I don't care if I miss 7 cuts if I have 4 wins. So he might be a little more, you know, high variance or get a little more aggressive this year on some of the golf courses. That may lead to some earlier exits in some events. But if that leads to a couple more trophies, you know, he's a guy who's not really struggling too much for money. He's not exactly living, you know, check to check here. So he did win here in 2018. That's another thing to look at in terms of course history. But, well, our thing is let's kind of fade those tournament favorites unless the number is wrong or, you know, it's Tiger freaking Woods. So +550, no thank you for John Rahm, as well as he's played.
Yeah, you got me kind of up against the wall this year, because I love Patrick Cantlay at +900, which is huge next. Last week we saw a favorite win. I'm going to bind the price here with Cantlay this week. I think he may even win by more than 3 strokes. And listen, he came to this event last year in the middle of a time when he was putting very, very poorly, not necessarily playing bad. He had just won the Zozo, but he came to the Amex and had a better putting week than normal for that time period. You fast forward to now, and he's really figured it out on the greens. He's picking up about a shot and a half to the field on the greens in the last 20 events. And he had a great start to the year at the Tournament of Champions 2 weeks ago. Really has shown no signs of regression from last year. And I think he has... You know, if he has the same week on the greens that he did last year, I think he picked up about 6 shots and just avoids the rounds above 70. You know, I think he can win. He shot a final round 61 here last year. That second round 71 just set him back a touch. But I only see the scores being lower this year. There's also great top 5 and top 10 value for Cantlay, both at plus odds right now, a bit surprising. So I'll look there when betting Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah, Cantlay's pass for me this week. It's tough with those single digits to 1 odds and stuff here, but I'm going to look at a little more long shot. It would just be tough to have a guy, you know, obviously you can have a great week, finish 3rd, stuff like that. Cantlay could be a great guy to bet maybe in top 5 just because you get a little more value there. But yeah, moving into our next guy, Scottie Scheffler, 20-1. The books are giving Scotty a lot of respect this week. Can't remember him really being a top 3 tournament favorite, especially in the, you know, past calendar year here. This is Scotty's first start of 2022, but he has had some really good results in the fall. So he had a 4th place finish at Mayakoba, tied 2nd at the Houston Open, runner up at the Hero World Challenge. So, you know, realistically playing great. Obviously, a little bit of a concern is he hasn't played since the Hero World Challenge. But, you know, for the most part, I think, you know, nowadays, these guys are playing big money games on the courses. You know, I don't think rust is this huge factor where it's like guys come in, you know, and, you know, and just don't have their game, you know, per se. So in terms of what's kind of stood out with Scotty all year, stats wise, he actually hasn't been good with the driver, which is, you know, really surprising to see. One of the, you know, better swings on tour, a little bit of fancy footwork there, but, you know, even going back to last season, he was 17th off the tee strokes game. This year so far, he's outside the top 100. So I really look for him to get back on track with the driver this week. And I think he's going to be able to do it just for the fact that, you know, not much rough isn't gonna, you know, not going to be too much of an issue. If you are struggling with your driver, it's definitely a little more nerve wracking knowing if you hit it in the rough, you're really going to be penalized versus here. It's like, okay, do I, you know, am I going to have it teed up or am I going to have it in the fairway? I don't think the rough's going to be an issue at all this week. Another thing we do like is he's picking up 0.35 shots per round putting, which is, you know, I wouldn't say out of character. He's always kind of a mediocre putter, but it is nice to see he is holding some putts. And so far this year on tour, he is 13th in birdies. So birdies is one of the stats we're looking at. He's averaging 5 birdies per round. You're going to have to probably have, you know, at least kind of that to contend this week. So one thing I do like is he did miss the cut last year, right? Okay. What do you mean? That makes no sense. In terms of the fact that, you know, if he finished T8th last year, he probably is in the 15-1, 16-1. So I think we're getting a little value just based off that. Remember last year, they only had 2 golf courses. Whereas the year previous to that, when they had the 3 course rotation, what we're going to see this week, he finished 3rd. So, you know, in terms of looking at it, course history wise, I think if anything, you know, you can look at last year as it didn't happen. That's how I'm going to look as a Scotty Scheffler backer. Yeah, so do some shopping in terms of Scotty. I've seen him 16-1 in some places, seen him 20-1 places like DraftKings. So do some shopping there. But I love Scotty Scheffler this week to win at 20-1.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have a couple looks at Scotty Scheffler as well. But on to Tony Finau at 22-1. You know, really tough to like Tony this week with how big of a concern his putting is. Not converting on anything. He's lost at least 2 shots on the greens in each of his last 5 events. And, you know, Tony really hasn't putted well in any of his previous 4 starts at this event. He did have a 4th place finish here last year in top 15 and 19. But I can't say I like Tony Finau at all this week. He hasn't done a whole lot since the Tour Championship in September, and I don't see it happening here.
Not playing great as of late. One of the guys we talked about where, yes, he did win during the FedEx Cup playoffs. Let's wait for that number to kind of come back to earth a little bit in terms of let's get him in that 30-1 range where we like him a little bit more, especially as a guy who has a tendency to struggle with the flat stick a little bit. You know, may not be a great fit for a
person. I don't see why he's the 4th favorite here. I don't get it. I don't see why Sungjae or Gooch are below him, but I guess that's good for us.
So I will say he does have a, you know, last 2 starts here, he does have a 4th place finish and a 14th. So
yeah,
a little bit of course history coming in here, but really hasn't played that type of golf in a couple months now. So moving into our next guy, Sungjae Im, 22-1. I was on Sungjae last week. He did miss the cut by 2, unfortunately.
Led, something that was so good about that ESPN Plus coverage was I was able to watch Sungjae in the morning on Friday, and he was grinding so hard to make the cut. He had like a streak of, I think, 12 or 13 going, and he was, I think he started the day at 3 under, but the cut got to like 3 or 5. I kind of forget which one it was.
I believe it got to 4, and he finished at 2. But
Anyways, completely grinding out cuts.
You know, so if you're just kind of glazing over people's recent results, right? You just see MC, all right? Here on this podcast, we go a little deeper than that, okay? So he actually hit 75% of the fairways last week. So it's not like, oh my God, this swing's off. I need to go get in the lab and get this thing back together, okay? He did have a disastrous first day with the irons, losing 2.5 shots. And, you know, he just didn't putt great. Both of those things being out of character. Besides last week, the miscut, his past 5 starts result in you know, a top 20, two top 10s, and a win at the Shriners. So, you know, one of the things that stood out even before we kind of the odds came out, Sungjae was definitely one of the guys I was looking at just for the fact that, you know, if the guy's coming off a missed cut, we can get him a little better value than we would have, you know. And in terms of the fact that if there's a guy on tour that's not afraid of going low, it's definitely Sungjae Im. Okay, he's gone 20 under in three of his last six starts, 20 under or better in three of his last six starts, which obviously should line up nicely for what looks to be a shootout this week. This season, he's 14th off the tee and 87th approach. So I think Sungjae can contend here based on the tee ball alone. He's sneaky long, averaging over 300 off the tee. Yes, he does hit it over 300 off the tee, even though his backswing takes about, you know, 8 to 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But we'll get into, you know, guys taking too long during golf shots. but Bermuda-wise, he's a middle-of-the-pack putter, not losing strokes on the green, so that's not really a concern. But I do like him this week. You know, bit of a zag here. Yes, he's coming off a missed cut, but one thing about a missed cut is you play two less rounds. He's going to be rested. And another thing is, you know, is everybody that's playing in the Sony jetting here and playing three practice rounds? You know, obviously we have three different courses to play. Probably not. But someone like Sungjae probably is, given the fact that he has two extra days of rest on everyone. So I think he's going to be prepped and ready to roll. So another guy I have this week is Sungjae Im, 22-1. Love it.
Nice, nice. Yeah, like I said, I got to watch quite a bit of Sungjae through two rounds last week at the Sony. And exactly like Led said, it was really just a couple mishaps with the putter inside of 10 feet. And that sent him home for the weekend or to Coachella Valley, whichever one. I'm sure, like you said, he was there about 6 days early. But on to Corey Connors at 25-1. Had a great week with a Corey Connors head-to-head ticket at the Sony. Also had him to win. He ended up finishing 11th. Pretty good week, though, all in all. As far as this week is concerned, I don't love him as much. He's been to the Amex twice in 18 and 19, came in 50th and missed a cut. And it's interesting because when he missed the cut here in 2019, he had just finished third at the Sony. So I'm not sure what to make of that, but there's not too much correlation with Corey Connors as far as how he plays leading up to this event. I'm not gonna, you know, be looking at Connors unless I see a matchup against a player like Finau, because Connors' numbers, to his credit, the past few weeks have been really solid, especially as far as the ball striking is concerned. But I do not have him to win this week.
Yeah, last two starts at the Amex. The Amex is a tied 50th and a missed cut. So not much course history going as well. But moving into our next guy, Russell Henley, 28-1. How does Henley rebound after last week's brutal loss? You know, different ways to look at it. Henley didn't really lose it. Matsuyama just kind of went out and took it.
Tough to shoot over par on that back nine there.
He shot even, right? Didn't he shoot even on the back?
He had to shoot even on the back. He shot one over.
Okay. You know, 65 sounds good, though.
No, you're right.
I did see a stat.
Hideki caught him.
Yeah, and I was looking at a stat. It said 49 out of the last 51 guys who were leading going to the final round that shot 65 or better went on to win. Russell Henley was the one guy who did it, and the other guy was Abraham Anser. So, you know.
He's kind of having some of that Charles Howell look, you know.
Yeah, but – in terms of his psyche, it's not like he choked it away. He didn't exactly Vandeveld it here on 18, you know. I don't think he's going to be coming in here with this awful mental hangover. Obviously, number a little bit juice given the fact of how good he played last week. But let's look at the stats. He's third approach on the PGA Tour, elite iron player, and has been for a while. That's why we loved him last week. On a layup-type golf course where everyone is hitting from the same spot on their second shot, we really thought he's going to be able to do well, just given the fact that he has that advantage being third strokes gained approach. Different story this week. So the longer hitters with no rough are really going to be able to exploit the place with the driver. And Henley definitely does not fit that in terms of being one of the longer guys off a tee. He does have, you know, some good results as of late, three top 25s, a top 10 at the Houston Open, and obviously the runner up last week.
He's terrible around this track.
Yeah, but given those results, you know, of how he has been playing really well, you'd think he'd be a tough guy to fade, but comparatively to Wailea, like, this course could not set up worse for him. He's missed his last four cuts here, you know, clearly showing that that's the case. Just look at it. Wailea, perfect setup for Henley going in there, was 35-1. Now we have Henley coming in four missed cuts at this event, 28-1. No, thank you. Get on to our here. Next guy.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Nothing on Russell Henley for me this week. And on to Taylor Gooch at 28-1. I like Gooch this week. I faded him last week against Kevin Na, and it was a great ticket to keep an eye on all week. The two were paired together in the first two rounds. Kevin Na got up to a big lead after he fired a 61. And then on Friday, Led, I don't know if you saw it, but I think they were on 13 and Kevin Na was hitting, and he told Taylor Gooch to take half a yard step back out of his line. And then someone on Twitter posted a picture of Augusta National on 18 and like the patrons all down the tee box. And they were like, how could you possibly have an issue with Gooch doing that? But and then, yeah, of course, Kevin Na gets into it with Grayson Murray on Friday night.
Yes. Yeah. The tweet heard around the world. It's almost like these guys, you know, they saw Netflix is taking them on and they said, we'll fire it up. Yeah.
And those guys have to get in the mix with the Netflix film. Kevin Na might be in there. I need to double check the list again, but they're not going to include these random guys like Grayson Murray or like a Taylor Gooch, which they should, in my opinion.
So I don't know how that works from like a copyright standpoint, like in terms of, you know, there could be some crazy ruling beef, whatever, you know, thing that starts up, and they, you know, I think they're going to find a way to make it as interesting as possible. Just going off that, I think it's going to be tough for PGA Tour's Netflix thing to be as entertaining as these Formula Ones, like these 18-year-old Formula One drivers with the FU mentality. I think, you know, that's going to sell. It's going to be a little more sexier than what's going on the PGA Tour. I doubt there's going to be like, you know, oh my God, that guy stepped in my line and these guys are going to come to blows. There's not going to be that level of stuff, but I think it'll be, you know, it should be interesting from the point, you know, we don't get much behind the scenes action. You know, we get a couple Instagram videos now and then, but it'll be nice to kind of see the, you know, day in the life of a PGA Tour pro. A lot of people don't understand, you know, when they have a 7 a.m. tee time, they're up at 4 in the morning, you know? So I'm sure there's going to be some cool parts of it that, oh, okay. You know, I didn't know that. I didn't know that they had these kind of different things going on. But, well, getting back to it, what was your thoughts on Taylor Gooch? Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. All in all, the Netflix is going to be very good for the game. It's just, you know, a couple features like, you know, how there will be absolutely no Bryson DeChambeau regardless. That can be a little bothersome for the, you know, the golf nut like Mir Led. But as far as, you know, Gooch went, had a very good weekend last week at the Sony, fired a pair of 66s and found himself paired with Na again in the final round. Luckily for our ticket, Na ended up beating him by a few shots. But Gooch battled well. And he's the first guy I'm discussing that actually has some consistent past success at the Amex. Finished fourth here in 19, 17th in 2020, and 21st in 21. He has six top 20 finishes in his last eight starts, including that win at the RSM. And, you know, the consistent play has really come from the ball striking. He's hitting just over 75% of his greens this year, and he's sixth in scoring average on the PGA Tour. So, this is a guy that I'm definitely going to be looking at to play in the head-to-head matchups. And I don't necessarily hate 21-1. I think, you know, he's getting more respect than former winners like Patrick Reed, who I –
28-1, correct?
28-1. He's getting more respect than, you know, than former winners like Patrick Reed, who is playing horribly. But I don't completely hate Taylor Gooch 28-1, like.
Yeah, I'm off Taylor Gooch at 28-1. I just have a hard time thinking he's going to, you know, win two times in 2 months here. I don't know if he's quite there yet with his career kind of progress, but yeah, like you talked about, moving into our next guy, Patrick Reed, 33-1, former winner of this event back in 2014. Wow. It's like, you used to look at 2014, you're like, okay, that's a couple years ago. Now it's like a decade. So in terms of Patrick's recent form, he has a second place finish in Bermuda, a third place finish at the Hero World Challenge, and a 15th place finish at the Century in his last five starts. So a little bit of form there to speak of. At the Century, he had an opening round 74, and I was like, oh my God, after I did have a ticket that week. But then he lit it up the next couple of days with rounds of 64, 66, and 68 on a par 73 golf course, getting it to 20 under par. In terms of his game, his stats, he's 123rd off the tee in his last 50 rounds and 60th approach. On a course you can afford to spray it a bit with no rough, I don't mind Patrick here, but I still, you know, against these longer guys, the Finaus, the Cameron Champs, all these guys that bomb it, he is going to be giving up, you know, 15, 20, 25 yards. And I'm not sure his ball striking is in a place, especially approach, where you'd be able to make up the ground there in that aspect. But it's funny, even though when you think about it, as we know, well, we are, you know, sports betting in general is an educated guess. It's funny to think how Patrick Reed's one win from last year was at a place, Torrey Pines, which might have the most like penalizing rough on tour in terms of the fact that, you know, he was able to win that week. He was able to get up and down and kind of scrap it around. But that's when 15, 16 under is kind of winning that kind of golf tournament versus here. You got to go 24, 25 under. You better have that swing exactly where you want it. So on a course that has a lot of trouble, I'm not sure Patrick's game's quite there. You're going to be needing to give yourself at least, you know, 10 plus birdie chances around to contend here. So, you know, other than the fact that Patrick Reed is he is the fifth best Bermuda green putter in the field, I just don't think he's going to give himself those birdie chances we're looking for. So Patrick Reed at 33-1, I am passing on.
Yeah, I'm fading him in a couple head-to-heads this week. But it's interesting. I think the biggest coin toss in the head-to-heads that I saw, at least on DraftKings, was Patrick Reed over Siwoo Kim at minus 125. That'd be an interesting play for the week. Two heavy, you know, coin flips. You know, you said Siwoo went from withdrawing 1 year to winning the next. And that's kind of what we're seeing from Patrick Reed right now.
And just going back to a bit of the, you know, course breakdown and stuff. Yes, it's going to be a birdie fest. 22, 24, 28 under could end up winning the event. But there is a lot of water out there. I remember watching last year and you're like, he made, you know, you're seeing like triples and quads and stuff. So there is definitely, you know, some damage to be done out there in that sense too. So on a guy that's struggling with their swing a little bit, and not sure I love him because, you know, once you have a double or a triple, a double box, as they used to call them, it's really hard to get back on the horse and, you know, end up getting 24, 25 under, which could end up winning.
Yeah, absolutely. And on to our last favorite of the week, which is Abraham Mansur at 33-1. This is another guy that I faded last week against Russell Henley. I like Abe more at the Amex than I did last week at the Sony. He's done very well around this place. Came in fifth here last year, second 2020, and an 18th place finish in 2021. And it's good he's at a venue this week where he's had some past success because the Hawaiian swing was absolutely nothing to brag about for Abe. I think me and Led both pretty much faded him, you know, throughout the majority of the 2 weeks. 35th at the Tournament of Championships and then a missed cut last week at the Sony, and we assumed that would happen. However, I think this is a bit more of a decent spot for Abe. One thing to look at is how questionable he's been around the greens, particularly in the bunkers. And one bit about the Amex is that it's ranked as having the toughest greenside bunkers on tour. And like Led said in the opening monologue, I think a large majority of that has to do with the stadium course. And you know, we mentioned 16, that deep bunker, and Abe Mansur is amongst some of the worst bunker players on the tour, converting just 34% of his saves. And And Led, I'm sure you agree with this, but for listeners that are thinking to themselves, you know, how often do bunker stats or strokes gained around the greens matter? And I think the answer is one shot can make all the difference between a top 10 and a top 20. So that information does really matter here.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, like looking at the guy's bunker play as being the difference between him, you know, playing well in a tournament and maybe not playing well, who the heck knows, right? In terms of he may hit it in four bunkers that week or he may hit it in 12, right? Yeah. And he may go – and I think those bunker stats can be a little bit flawed sometimes just in the sense that not every bunker shot's created equal, right? He might have only been missing –
you can get screwed.
Yeah, you can get screwed. But in terms of a course like this, well, I think – you know, in the grand scheme of things, if Abraham Answer is a poor bunker player and there's a lot of potential bunker shots for him to have, if you're going to go 25 under, you can't be getting the bunker shots up and down, you know, one out of four times,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So in terms of that aspect, at 33-1, you better have every part of your game in shape to match up with the course, or yeah, you would be a pass. So I definitely agree with the logic there.
Yeah, I have nothing. Anyways, I have nothing on Abraham Answer this week.
Yep, same for me. So let's move into the head-to-heads. Will, I believe we are going, you know, a couple hours are offsetting. I believe one of ours is. So I'm going to go with my first one. It is Adam Hadwin over Christian Bezuidenhout, plus 100. From 2017 to 2019, Adam Hadwin went runner-up, tied third, runner-up at this event, even shooting an unaired 59 at the La Quinta Country Club before they had television coverage at that course. Hadwin, in terms of recent form, he's made the cut in his last five events, highlighted by a tied sixth, the Shriners. Very similar, you know, not necessarily course comp, but got to go low there. He did in terms of, you know, another guy. He is not afraid to throw up a 62, throw up a 63. I think that's why he does well on a course like this. And he's coming home to a course that he's clearly very comfortable on. Christian has been playing well. He's coming off a tied 17th at the Sony. And but in terms of my logic here, I think it's a lot to ask for. This is going to be Christian's first start at this event. He's going to have to play three different golf courses in a match, and he's just played, you know, Thursday through Sunday at Sony. So in terms of, I do think Hadwin has the advantage there. Course history wise, 2017, 2019, exact same three courses they're playing this year. I am getting Hadwin at plus money, so I just think that's tough to pass up for my first head-to-head. So Adam Hadwin over Christian Bezuidenhout, plus 100. I'm sorry about the pronunciation. It's shocking. For our next guy, Will Zalatoris over Alex Noren, minus 120. Will coming in under the radar. I do like Will this week. You know, even given the fact you just look at the number, he's 50-1 to win. When we were getting into, you know, fall last year and getting into, you know, whether it be the Wyndham Championship, something like that, he was coming into those weeks 20-1, 22-1, 24-1. So now he's really that number's inflated, and it's mostly because we just haven't seen him in a while. In terms of stats, I'm just going to go head to head here. Will Zalatoris, 26 off the tee. Alex Noren, 139th off the tee. Approach, Will Zalatoris, 20th. Alex Noren, 227th. Zal is gaining two shots per round on Alex Noren with the irons alone. And honestly, if anything, you'd say Noren is not that good a putter. He's kind of known as a ball striker. So we're taking a great ball striker against a, you know, I would say a good ball striker that's struggling. So the only thing Noren has going for him is he's played this tournament previous. He has a tied 14th here in 2020. But in terms of recent form, I'd lean, you know, Will Zalatoris. He's The only thing Alex Noren has done as of late is a tied 18th at the Zozo, which is a small non-cut field. When we look at what Will Zalatoris has done lately, he has a tied 11th at the Fortinet and a tied 14th in the Sanderson. So whether you look at the stats, whether you look at the recent form, I have to lean Will Zalatoris here, and you're not really giving up too much with that minus 120 number. So going back through my head-to-heads, I'm going with Adam Hadwin over Christian Bezuidenhout, plus 100, and Will Zalatoris over Alex Noren, minus 120. And feel free to put a, you know, sprinkle a little extra on that Will Zalatoris bet. I really do like that one.
Great work, Led. Yeah, so into my head-to-heads for the Amex, and I'm 6-1 through two events in the head-to-head section for 2022. So we'll try to keep it rolling here. We're going to start with Seamus Power over Russell Henley at -130. I'm staying on the Seamus Power train this week, and I think this is a great spot against Russell Henley, who, like I said, and like Led said, has missed 4 of 6 starts at the Amex. Russell Henley has. The ball striking has gotten a lot better this year and since Henley missed those cuts here. But regardless, I think playing that bad at golf anywhere is going to give you some bad vibes. And I think we definitely see some regression after he blew that 5-shot lead on the back nine last week at the Sony. But how about Seamus Power, Led? Okay, he has 5 top 20 finishes in his first 8 events this year. The Sony was the second event he was knocking on the door of the winner's circle. If you don't remember, he was right there at the RSM after he opened with a 63. We're really seeing some consistent golf from Seamus, and he's 9th in scoring average on the PGA Tour. So my first matchup this week is going to be Seamus Power over Russell Henley at -130. We move on to Taylor Gooch over Tony Finau at -110. I haven't really bought into the Taylor Gooch hype as far as betting is concerned. I know he won the RSM. I think James had a few tickets on him that week. But this will be my first time investing in Taylor Gooch. Tata Green is just outperforming Tony right now. Gooch is an above average putter on Bermuda Greens. And there doesn't really appear to be any of that rookie regression after the winter break. So my second head-to-head is going to be Taylor Gooch over Tony Finau, -110. We move on to Matthew Wolf over Patrick Reed at -120. And really, there might not be a player struggling more tee to green than Patrick Reed. His putting is really about the only positive point in this game. Other than that, the ball striking is awful. I mean, Patrick Reed has gained shots off the on the field off the tee once since the 3M Open back in July. And that's a recipe for disaster around these three tracks at La Quinta. And Matthew Wolf, on the other hand, has not finished outside the top 20 in 4 starts. He's coming off an 11th place finish in Houston, where I watched him the entire final round. And it was the day he made a hole in one on the 9th there at Memorial, but he was in the final group there and ended up shooting 72, falling a couple places back. But every tournament seems to be a step in the right direction for Matthew Wolf. He finished 2nd at the Shriners and 5th at Mayakoba a couple weeks prior to Houston. And there really isn't an aspect of Wolf's game that is struggling right now. We're seeing his tee ball get more consistent week after week. And I absolutely love him in this spot against the struggling Patrick Reed, who only has 1 top 10 finish in the last 7 months. So my third head-to-head is going to be Matthew Wolf over Patrick Reed at -120. And my last head-to-head for DMX is going to be KH Lee over Kevin Streelman at -120. And I hate to do this to my guy, Kevin Streelman, but you want to talk about someone who is on the struggle bus and has no signs of getting off. It's Kevin Streelman. Streely has not had a finish inside the top 30 since the Wyndham back in August after his great performance at the major championships. If you don't remember, 8th at the PGA and 15th at the U.S. Open for Streely last year. But the bottom line is Kevin Streelman has been cold as ice as of late. And his best finish at this event has been 10th twice in 2010, 2013, which is really irrelevant this week considering how long ago that was. KH Lee is no longer just the new kid on the block from South Korea who really came out of nowhere and won the Byron Nelson last year. He's really starting to put together some very consistent finishes, 14th at the Shriners in Vegas and then 18th at the Zozo Championship. I think KH Lee makes the cut and has a finish inside the top 25 this week, betting Kevin Streelman. So let's go back over these head-to-head. Seamus Power over Russell Henley at -130, Taylor Gooch over Tony Finau at -110, Matthew Wolf over Patrick Reed at -120, and KH Lee over Kevin Streelman at -120.
Solid picks, solid picks. And moving into my picks to place, I am taking Tony Finau, top 10, plus 225. Tony finished fourth last year, finished 14th the year before, so great course history. I think his game just matches up to PJ West and, you know, all three of these courses really well in terms of setup. He's a bomber and a consistent iron player. That's exactly what you're going to need here. Tony hasn't quite got the putter going this year, losing a stroke per round to the field. So, you know, looking at him potentially winning, the flat stick could definitely hold him back, you know, from going 25, 26 under to, you know, grab a trophy here. But I think he's more than capable, you know, given his long game, to cash a top 10 here. So I'm going for my first one, Tony Finau, top 10, plus 225. And then for my next one, I'm taking Sung Jae Im, top 10, plus 200. Right now, Sung Jae's fifth in the FedEx Cup. In his last 50 rounds, Sung Jae is ninth off the tee and 24th approach. Sung Jae makes a ton of birdies. Yes, he's coming off a missed cut, but he takes it, you know, he takes it deep really often. You know, three times out of his last six, he's been able to get 20 under or better. So he is not afraid to go low, makes a ton of birdies. His last three starts here, 12th, 10th, 12th. So I think he's more than capable of a top 10. So for my two picks, Tony Finau, top 10, plus 225, and Sung Jae Im, top 10, plus 200.
And for my picks to place at the Amex, we're going to start off with Scottie Scheffler, top 10 and plus 160. I have to take Scottie in this spot, regardless of the some of the putter issues we've seen. I didn't highlight on that earlier, but I think he's lost strokes to the field in 50% of his last 11 events. So losing shots in half of those events. He came back hot in the fall and racked up two top 10 finishes at the Mayakoba in Houston, played in that final group with Wolf in Houston. I thought it was going to be his moment to capture his first PGA Tour win in his home state of Texas. And that first round 72 really came back to hurt him as he lost by two against Jason Koprak. But he's had taste of success on this golf course before. As Led pointed out earlier, he's came in third here in 2020 after shooting a second round 64. And the key for Scottie to finally get a win on the PGA Tour under his belt is to actually put four rounds of elite golf together. It's getting harder and harder every week. I mean, we saw Matt Jones fire two sub 65 rounds in the weekend in Kapalua and come up short. But anyways, there's not too many pick to place tickets I like this week, but Scheffler top 10 at plus 160 is definitely one of them. We're going to move on to Patrick Cantlay, top 10 at plus 110. Here's the thing. I love Patrick Cantlay to win this event, but I'm also well aware that winning three events in a four stretch start is a very tough thing to accomplish. However, I do love Patrick Cantlay at this venue. Two top 10 finishes and three starts. And this is the safest your money will be in a pick to place this week. My next one is Sung Jae Im on top of the Asian leaderboard at plus 120. Like Led said, Sung Jae got some optimal preparation in for this event since he missed the cut last week, ending, I believe, a 11 tournament stretch of made cuts. So Sung Jae will be looking to kind of get back together, making a cut and having a strong finish this week. And before we get to Sung Jae on the Asian leaderboard, let's take a deeper look at who he has to face this week. We'll start with Siwoo Kim, who is the defending championship, the defending champion here at the Amex, but has been absolutely horrible on the greens as of late. Then it's K.H. Lee, who I expect to have a decent enough week to beat Kevin Streelman, but not Sung Jae Im. And then there's C.T. Pan, who hasn't finished in the top 40 in his last four starts. Audubon Lahiri, who must be on a sponsor's exemption this week because he's missed four cuts in his last six starts. Then we have Sung Kang, who's playing absolutely horribly. He's missed two cuts in his last three starts. And last but not least, Sung Yeol-no, who has missed six cuts in his last eight starts on the PGA Tour. So as you can
see, we'll call that the barbershop group with all those cuts. Jesus.
No, I know, and a lot of missed cuts. I mean, Sung Jae Sanjay plus 120 atop his leaderboard to steal. And, you know, as you can see, it's not a strong Asian field. You know, this week, now that Sungjae doesn't have to go up against Hideki Matsuyama, Sungjae, you know, like I said, coming off a miscut, but it's a positive. He got 6 days to prep. He's not a guy who's going to miss back-to-back cuts. And most importantly, he has an outstanding track record at this golf course, 12th, 10th, 12th. This is a best bet for me this week. Possibly we'll get to that in a second, but that's going to be Sungjae M, top Asian. Yeah, top Asian leaderboard at plus 120. My last pick to place this week is going to be Christian Bezuidenhout, top South African at minus 125. I think Christian on the South African leaderboard could be even more of a lock than Sungjae on the Asian leaderboard. I mean, Christian is going up against some fellow countrymen whose games are downright in the gutter. And we'll start with Dylan Fratelli, who's missed 6 of 9 cuts since August. I don't know how he still has his tour card. Then we go to Dowie Vanderwall, who lives in Houston. Shout out Houston. Attended Lamar University in Beaumont. Big fan. But he's missed his last five cuts, starting at Sanderson Farms. And then finally, James Hart Du Perez, who is making his PGA Tour debut via a sponsor's exemption. However, this will be Christian's toughest test because, according to the Golf Channel, this guy, James Hart Du Perez, is 6'10" with a faster swing speed than Bryson DeChambeau. Actually, Golf Channel has it. This golfer is 6'10" with Kyle Berkshire swing speed and is playing in the Amex. So,
wait, who gave him the sponsor exemption? What's the story behind that?
I have no idea. I have no idea. That's
an absolute unit.
I don't think he was in the long drive contest, but he, you know, he failed second stage of Corn Ferry Tour last fall. Had some.
Is he a chronic Netflix?
Back pain? No, he's not going to be on the Netflix. It's story. Yeah, it's stories like this. You know, you got to let these randoms in every once in a while to be in your Netflix film. I mean,
yeah,
it's what makes the story. But let me just recap here. My picks to place this week: we have Scottie Scheffler top 10 at plus 160. We have Patrick Cantlay top 10 at plus 110. We have Sungjae M atop the Asian leaderboard at plus 120. And then Christian Bezuidenhout top South African at minus 125. This guy, James Hart Du Perez, you know, he starts hitting fairways, I think my boy Christian's in trouble.
It's funny. It's like, he's got the arm of Tom Brady and the running ability of Lamar Jackson and the, you know what I mean? It seems like seem real. Might have to change my dark horse here, but we'll keep him as is for now.
He wears those like clear, like Oakley shades too. He's kind of got that Eric Gagne. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, old closer for the Dodgers, but huge and wears those clear glasses. Just a beast. No doubt Chris is going to take him down on that South African leaderboard.
So moving into our dark horses, I am taking Taylor Moore, top 20, plus 275. Taylor's 35th off the tee and picking up a third of a shot per round on the field putting. In the five events that he's played so far in this shortened PGA Tour season, he does have 3 top 25s. One of the things that's kind of a power move is he just skipped the Hawaii swing. I don't believe, obviously, he didn't get in the Century Tournament Champions first time, first year on tour here. But he did get into Sony. I think he just said, I'm good. Haven't seen that too much, but I'm going to look at that as a positive, just in the sense that another guy who's going to have a couple extra days of prep for the 3 golf courses they're going to be playing. In terms of his recent form, I talked about it, 3 top 25s in his last 5 events and coming off a tied 8th at the RSM Classic. So look for him to add another top 20 this week in Palm Springs. So for that dark horse, Taylor Moore, top 20, plus 275.
Yeah, and my dark horse this week is going to be Paul Barjon, top 40, plus 400. TCU stand up, former school, LaDainian Tomlinson stand up. But I love Paul Barjon this week. There's been a lot of first-time success for tour players around this golf course. Look at Andrew Landry in 2020. You look at Adam Long in 2019, look at Hudson Swafford in 2017, a ton of Corn Ferry graduates come to this tournament and really break themselves down on the PGA Tour. I think we see the same sort of thing happen with Paul Barjon this week. He finally made a cut last week at the Sony after back-to-back MCs in Houston at the RSM. He really got screwed in Houston with the draw. There was a lot of rain Friday morning. Had to play like, 36? No. He had to play like 27 on Friday. Around really just not a good golf course with the Houston Open was at. So I'd really just cross that Houston Open start off the list for Barjon. I don't count it. This is a guy who eventually will have long-term success on the PGA Tour. He made his first two cuts of the season at Fortinet and Sanderson Farms, and I expect him to get back to playing well in California. So my dark horse is Paul Barjon, top 40 at plus 400.
Yeah, I think these Corn Ferry grads can take advantage of the fact that, you know, this is probably going to be closer to a Corn Ferry course that they're going to play all year. You know, they're not exactly going out to Torrey or Bay Hill
here. And it's a Corn Ferry field, too. I mean, Tony Finau is like the third or fourth favorite, lad. What are we doing?
Come on. No, Netflix, you know, it's good enough for Netflix. But moving into our picks to win. First one up, Scottie Scheffler, 20-1. Like we talked about, folks are giving him a lot of respect with a top three favorite here. Like we talked about, John Rahm plus 550. That's a little short. And then we go to Cantlay, and then we, you know, balloon up to 20-1 for Mr. Scheffler. And like I talked about, really good form as of late. Fourth place at Mayakoba, second at the Houston Open, runner up at the Hero World Challenge. I think he gets back on track with driver this week. That's one of the things he's been struggling with. 117th on tour driving with Scotty. Like, that just seems definitely not sustainable. He has a ton of firepower. Averages 5 birdies per round. One of the guys, you know, we talk about these guys that are due, right? Somehow Scottie Scheffler has 0 PGA Tour wins. It's like, even going back to last year, I want to say he was in like 2 final groups of majors, or, you know, the last, or even the last 2 years. I remember he's in the final group of the PGA, held his own. Not exactly like choking these away. It's just, you know, as we're starting to see, even Russell Henley last week, like, you got
to, yeah, you can shoot 65 and get beat.
Yeah, exactly. So, Scotty has a ton of firepower. So I love him this week at 20-1. Next guy, Sung Jae-im, 22-1. Sneaky drove it great last week despite the missed cut. So we're not going to freak out just because you see the big MC in bold. I think Sung Jae can contend here based on the tee ball alone. He's rested after a missed cut, going to have a lot of prep. He's top 10 in birdies or better and plays great in easy golf courses. So I love Sung Jae for that reason. And then for our last one, Matthew Wolff, 30-1. Mr. Consistent? Yes. Matthew Wolff has been very consistent as of late. You know, we used to call him the roller coaster, but he's seemed to figure it out here. He's made all 4 cuts so far in this PGA Tour season, highlighted by a runner-up at the Shriners. Similar course comp, 25 under, winning kind of score, and then had a tied fifth at the Mayakoba. So really playing well. Dream course setup for Wolff. Little bit of trouble out there. If he can stay away from the big numbers, I really think he's going to be able to make a lot of birdie this week. And, Will, this is one more thing I kind of bring up. I really like taking Matthew Wolff first-round leader, but we can't do it this week because – everyone's first round could be on a potentially different golf course. I haven't seen any first round numbers, but it'd be a fun thing if the, you know, the books added just low round of the event ticket. I think that would be fun because on a guy like Wolff, who, you know, at any moment can throw up a 61 or a 62, you know, might be Thursday, might be Sunday, might be Friday. In terms of, I think it'd be a fun ticket to look at for a lot of these guys that are go super low. You know, Adam Hadwin even probably being a long shot for something like that. So, you know, just recapping my picks to win, it's gonna be Scottie Scheffler 20-1, Sung Jae-im 22-1, and then Matthew Wolff at 30-1.
Okay, my one pick to win this week, you know, staying true to the favorites, I'm taking Patrick Cantlay at plus 900. And listen, if you can find a better number, you know, please go right ahead, take that. I still need to shop around a little bit before I put my ticket in. But, you know, like I said, I hate to jump on a heavy favorite, but I've told you today all the reasons I like Cantlay this week. So my winning pick for this week is going to be Patrick Cantlay at plus 900. And let I'll just move this right into the daily fantasy lineups where we're 1-1. You actually beat me last week at the Sony. So we led tied it up. Here's the lineup I'm going with this week. I'm going Seamus Power. I'm going Matthew Wolf, Abraham Mancer, Christian Bezudenhop, Adam Svensson, who's been a DFS.
Svensson.
Okay, yep. my apologies. My apologies.
You're good. Anyways,
absolute DFS nightmare. And then to round it off, Paul Barjon. I mean, that guy, he top 42 is going to give me a bunch of points and a bunch of
love money. Love that. Yeah, it was nice to even up the weekly betting last week with the – I had – who did I have? I had Kisner and Henley in there. Definitely power the team through. But for this week, I am taking Scottie Scheffler, Matthew Wolf, Adam Hadwin, Cameron Champ, Taylor Moore, and Adam Svensson. So we will see how we do there. Moving into our best bet of the week, I am taking Will Zalatoris, top 20, plus 180. Zal coming a little under the radar this week. It could be because he has his PGA Tour card. He's in that 50-1 range, and that's what I kind of talked about earlier. We were waiting for that to inflate a little bit. People were freaking out about him. And at the Wyndham, this guy's like 18-1. It's like, okay, let's relax a little bit. Let's let him get his card first. So now that that's secured, I think he's obviously going to be freewheeling it. And this is just mostly about the number at plus 180. I see that closer to what his top 10 number should be for plus 180, and we're getting that with the top 20. So, you know, have to take it. He already does have a tied 11th at the Fortinet Championship and a 14th in the Sanderson in his last couple starts here. 26th off the tee, 20th approach, putting anything but terrible. We should be fine for a top 20. So that is my best bet. Will Zalatoris, top 20, plus 180. Lock it in.
Okay, my best bet for this week is going to be Matthew Wolf over Patrick Reed at minus 120, which I discuss in the head-to-heads. You know, there's not a player who's more lost on the tee box over the irons than Patrick Reed. I think Matthew Wolf is really on the trend. We've seen him, you know, on the gram doing great work with Gankus, getting dialed in. The results are paying off. So I think this is my best ticket this week. I mean, Matthew Wolf over Patrick Reed at minus 120. And then led my winning score prediction for this week is going to be 25 under. You know, there's no weather. They're in a bowl. You know, I think that's a pretty good guess. What about you?
Yeah, the Palm Springs Dome could be good for scoring. You know, I'll gloat a little bit. I picked 24 under last week, and it was 23 under. So I am leading the head to head in that.
You were one off. It's kind of BS, you know. If they had counted
the playoff,
the playoff birdie.
Well, then it goes to 25. I'm off again. But
what'd you have it at?
I had it at 24,
and that was the winning score, right?
It was 23, and then the Eagles would have put it to 25. We were right in there. I'm going to take 24 under, and I actually, you know, chose that even before. I'm just hearing yours for the first time. So 24 under, so I'll get everything underneath. It's kind of a nice spot to be in there. I am rooting for a little bit of a gust maybe on the weekend.
I know. I was thinking they might push 30, but that's a stretch. That's a stretch.
We don't want to overreact just based off that that century.
Nope. But you get 24, 55. Everything under 24. So
yeah, we get everything over. Yeah.
Okay, that'll do it here for American Express Week on the Golf Preview Podcast on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Len, good luck to you and good luck to all. We'll see you next week for the Farmers.
Yeah, I'm hoping to have a good week and pay off that American Express card.
Nah, man, listen, your bookie's wife's going to have to stop the AMX and half with this week's time. We got some locks. So listen up and good luck to everybody.